This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online. A defeat for Cardiff City and a familiar face coming in this weekend in the shape of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I'm not delighted to be joined in this pre-Christmas episode by Nathan Blake. And just coming into the room, we thought you might be late, but here he is, Paul Abbandonato.
Hello, hello. Welcome, Paul.
Hello,
Paul. Thank you, Tom.
Obviously going to be talking about Solskjaer's return to Cardiff with Manchester United, the Watford game, and also Blakey's Premier League predictions, which went quite well for him last weekend. Let's start very briefly then, lads, with Watford and what went wrong there before we get into the week's big news, of course. Nathan, we've just been talking off air there. You were particularly disappointed with Cardiff at Vicarage Road.
Yeah, I was. It's not so much... I was on a radio programme afterwards, and someone said, oh, they didn't run, but it's not, you have to understand the game in more depth than that. It's a case of, you know, when you're coming up against a team that does what Watford do, they rotate so well, they basically play a 4-2-2-2, right? And those six players in front, one of them sits and the other five all rotate, basically. And I've said since last season, said many times on this programme, many times in the article, Cardiff can't play against rotation. Teams that rotate well, Cardiff struggle. And this team rotated incredibly well, and Cardiff struggled incredibly for me. And so it wasn't a case of a lack of running or a lack of work ethic. It becomes a psychological problem where you think to yourself, I don't want to step on and leave a space behind me, because, you know, that's going to exploit my defence, or they're going to be able to exploit my defence. Now, the problem lay for me was after, because they'd done all right for 10 minutes, you have to say that, they actually had Watford locked in it for a couple of minutes in the first 10 minutes. But then what happened was, how I seen it was, Victor Camarasa was playing alongside Gunnarsson and Arta. And there's a few opportunities to get him the ball in like the first 10 minutes on a counter-attack, and they didn't take them. But what Victor done was, for me then, he lost his discipline and he played just too far ahead of Gunnarsson and Arta, which was allowing so much down that left channel and inside left channel in behind Victor. They just kept breaking down that channel. And what they also kept doing was getting one, sometimes two men alongside Gunnarsson and in the space. So when the ball was being fed through our midfield, Gunnarsson, he doesn't know how to go left or right. And if he goes to one or other, you play a one-touch pass and you're away. And often you had, I was just saying to you, you had four, sometimes six players, either two or three players running at our defence, one with the ball, and two players up front making movements. Or sometimes you'd have three players up front and sometimes two or three players running at Cardiff's back four with the ball. And then when you seen, for me, when I seen Gunnarsson remonstrating with the bench, I've been there. I remember being there at Wolves and someone giving us a bit of a running round. And in the end, what we'd done, we ended up just taking it on ourselves to make the changes on the pitch ourselves. Dave Jones had a bit of a pop at us after the game, halftime. But, you know, I think we still lost the game 1-0. But what we'd done, we were able to contain the opposition because we hadn't done enough work on countering what they do. And I think at the moment, if anyone watched that game Saturday, they will know. And I've said it for years, rotation kills Cardiff. And if you rotate well, you definitely kill Cardiff, right? And they rotated very, very well. And it's all about hours on the training ground. It's mundane. It's boring. You get cold. You warm up. You stiffen up afterwards. But it's when you're dealing with rotation, how to counter it, it's done with movement, yes, but voice and, you know, letting your partner know who's coming in, you know, what shoulder, whether to move forward, drop off, blah, blah, blah.
It seems to be the way Cardiff's set up, particularly away from home, and their mentality in these games seems to be that of a defensive team and trying to keep it tight, keep it nil-nil for long periods. But against a team like Watford, who played well, and other teams that we've seen in away games this season, they're just invited on by that. They're encouraged by a team that seems to retreat against them.
I've not seen a team rip us up like that this season.
And that's they've been beaten 5-0 by Man City.
Yeah. I thought, like, there were times where I thought they had 14 players. Like they looked, and I was thinking to myself, hold on, this is a good team. I watched them at Everton last week, and they are a good team, but they just overloaded. You know, our midfielder overloaded, then fullbacks would be overloaded. There was times where they had sucked, like, the left back in or the right back in, and whichever winger would be tucked in and followed someone, and you'd have like two players running down the right hand side and the ball being switched. It was just incredible. I just thought, you know, it wasn't that's a tactical issue that needs to be resolved, like I said, on the training ground. It's hours, it's boring, but you ain't going to resolve it. Rob Phillips asked me, oh, can they change anything half time? You can't change anything half time in a game like that.
He took Josh Murphy off, didn't he? But
well, it doesn't matter.
That was a strange decision for me.
It just carried on, didn't it?
Yeah, it didn't make any difference.
It didn't make a difference at all, because, like I said, that is hours and hours of training on the training pitch, talking, moving people, right positions, this, that, dealing with rotation, you know, making sure the spaces. When you're dealing with rotation, you don't follow the man, because you know, if this man leaves, what he wants me to do is follow him in order to open up the space for his mate who's coming in behind me. Really, what he's doing is just a decoy run often. Yeah,
that's why teams have these zonal marking systems.
So
and
you
stuff
zonally
like that,
you mark your area, whoever comes into your space, you let the man in front of you know, and then you learn then when to press. Because what it didn't enable Cardiff to do, they couldn't press or anything. They were just totally on the back foot from 10, 12 minutes till 80 minutes when Højlund scored, and then we got the quick second.
I think we could all probably agree that, Paul, those two late goals didn't really put the gloss on it in any way for Cardiff, and it wasn't really a deserved scoreline. How can these away games change?
Well, I thought it would change at the weekend, but it obviously didn't, did it? I thought Cardiff could do something at Vicarage Road. I really did.
Yeah, I think we all suggested that.
Cardiff's mindset is get into half time at 0-0, Blakey. Mm. Then it becomes a 45-minute game. Mm. Keep it at 0-0 for 60 minutes, then it becomes a 30-minute game, and then it can go either way. But the trouble is, it isn't working, because they're not getting... they're not getting beyond. They may occasionally get a half time against West Ham, didn't they, at 0-0, but they're not getting much beyond that. Mm. And I know they came back with a couple of goals. I know they've come back from losing positions at home this season, but you just feel away from home that the moment Cardiff go a goal down, it's game over.
Well, I would
that
say
that sounds a bit harsh.
Going to Wembley, I didn't see Tottenham do that to us.
No, but you know, were in second gear.
Yeah, they were, but you know, they've got a higher standard, higher quality of player. So I'm looking at Watford and I'm thinking, okay, you know, this will be a tricky game, a tough game, but it's a game you can definitely walk away with a point, because they're pretty vulnerable as well. They're drawn at Everton when they should have won. They hadn't won in six games, I think. I think they had picked up two draws in their last six games. So it was a good time to be playing Watford, but they just, you know, from the moment De La Feo, you know, and that had been threatened a few times. I said Gunnarsson, and then he had Arda to his left and Camarasa to his right. Camarasa would step forward too early, too soon, and they were just exploiting that space in behind him all the time. and then pulling full backs in tight and making our wingers go all the way back. And then, you know, they were basically leaving the two centre halves up against Patterson, and everybody else was either in midfield or forward.
Can I raise the first goal as well, though, Blakey? Because, you know, it's seen as some sort of wonder goal, or, you know, did he get past the centre backs too easily, right? But if you actually rewind, and you play centre forward yourself, that goal comes from the ball is played up and Patterson is in front of the centre half and should have got hold of the ball, and he let the centre half come in front of him from a distance behind, win the ball, they've gone forward and they've scored.
That's too easy.
That could have been stopped at source, Blakey.
I don't know about that, Paul. I mean, maybe I'm in strikers' union, but yes, you could say, you could be mildly critical of Patterson not holding up the ball. But once you lose it, you know, it's what, one pass into De La Feo. De La Feo turns, runs through midfield, runs through the defence. In fairness, I don't think either the defenders could have tackled him, because I think they were giving away a foul. So I understand what you're saying, but a lot's happened subsequently after that for that ball to be ending up in your net, and only, I think, two players touching it.
Yeah, it has done. It has done. I just looked at that and I thought, Patson's done well at centre forward. I just thought we could have done a little bit better at that point and taken the pressure off the defence, if you like, because when you're under that relentless pressure, you need that sort of outlet, don't you? But I'm being hypercritical here.
I think, you know, you are being hypercritical.
You know, there comes a point where they have to stop conceding, because statement the obvious, because but I repeat, if they go a goal behind, I feel it's game over whenever that goal comes, Blakey, and that's not a nice feeling to have.
Yeah, my concern.
Do you see what I'm on about there?
I do, yeah, but my main concern, well, it wasn't my main concern. The concern for me was when I seen Gunnarsson, Saul, Morrison, all at different times, not arguing with each other, but trying to sort out what was going on. And Gunnarsson, in the first half, I seen Gunnar turn to Warnock and Blackwell and kind of like shouting like we need to sort this out. They're everywhere. Do you know what I mean? It was like they were surrounded in a fight. So, and there was no answers. That was the scary thing for me. There didn't seem to be any answers on how to counter it. But I repeat, you're not going to counter it in 15 minute team talk in the dressing room. Those are the things that are done on the training ground, and they take weeks to master.
Just finally wrapping up on this, on Watford and on their away form, I want to ask the question of whether Cardiff's real lack, we've praised Callum Patterson a lot on the podcast, but whether it's going back to your point you made a few weeks ago, Blakey, Cardiff's real lack of a natural centre forward who could hold the ball up, who could hold off defenders, who could get them up the pitch, whether that's really starting to hurt them away from home.
I suppose that's exactly my point about the first
that's
goal.
That's what you just said.
My point about the first goal. But
that's it, isn't it? Because a proper centre forward who could drive them forward, who could bully people around, get them 20 yards up the pitch, that stops you being hemmed back the way that Cardiff were at Watford.
And also, there was a couple of occasions, if you remember, Dom, where the ball had been played into the space for Callum, and Callum knew, like, there's a right back already in there. And one of the centre backs is 5 yards behind me, so in a race I'm not going to beat him, and he kind of like was like, what are you doing, sort of thing.
It was like him on his own in 30 yard space with four people around him.
Because what they had done is, because they're keeping the ball so well and because their movement was so good, Watford, our midfield had to drop off automatically, which they did, but then what happened is our back four dropped off, so the space, what the back forward should have done, if they were brave, alright, and really, really step up to condense that space, to kill that space for them. But again, once you step up, you're then fearing the ball in behind you. So I get why the back four step back, the midfield step back, and like I said, I can't point the finger at anybody. I just look at it as a tactical problem which needs to be addressed, because it's been going on so long. They have to be able to cope with teams that rotate. Any scout from any other club, Crystal Palace, Leicester, watching that on Saturday, would just go home and say, right, in their match report, this is what happened. All you have to do is rotate against Cardiff. If you've played rotation and you're Crystal Palace or Leicester or Man United, then you're already giving yourself...
It's a blueprint there for
Yeah, you're already giving yourself... Because we've had it last... I go all the way back to Sheffield Wednesday when they drew 1-1 and got out of jail in the promotion campaign. You know, they drew and you know, at that point...
There's better teams now.
Well, at that point, you should have. We should have looked at that and said, right, let's be able to counter that. Not go man for man every time. We're going to counter that by something, by, you know, staying in our spaces, not being dragged out of position, and, you know, being able to deal with the problem at hand.
Well, it can only improve. Let's have a very quick break, and then we'll talk about the big week, the big breaking news of the week.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
So the big breaking news that came first on Tuesday and then on Wednesday is that Manchester United have sacked their manager, Jose Mourinho, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, a very familiar face to Cardiff fans, is in the hot seat at Old Trafford. Nathan's giving me a knowing look. Because we all know what happened when Solskjaer took over Cardiff back in 2014. This is a news story that has really split Cardiff and Manchester United fans. Obviously, United fans are hailing the return of a club legend. Cardiff fans are saying this guy was a disaster as manager. How do we see it, chaps?
Well, it's okay if you're going into Man United. You've got a lot to work with, even though I think defensively... I think Cardiff can really get at Man United. I think what the likes of Woodward and that are thinking is, you know, we'll go back to the 90s and just play all-out attacking football. Well, you know, in the Premier League at the moment, if you can't defend and you can't set the team up structurally to defend well, then you're going to have problems against Huddersfield, against Cardiff, against Fulham, whoever it is, because, you know, just thinking it's just an attacking problem, we just need to run forward more. You know, I don't look at it like that. So for me, this, I mean, it was a bit of a, you know, a kick in the teeth when you know, Mourinho leaving, because you knew there's so many unhappy people at the club. You knew it was such an unhappy place, and you thought, you know, coming to Cardiff, you know, ruckus atmosphere, it's the type of game like we could go and nick 1-0 or 1-1 or something like that and really put the pressure on Mourinho even more, because when players stop playing for you, those are the kind of results that happen. So I was a bit gutted when I seen him get the sack just before coming to Cardiff.
Fans were.
But then, you know, I'm looking and I'm thinking, you know, maybe it's a bit too much nostalgia playing out here. Because you have to say, when Ollie came to Cardiff, we went from one extreme to the other. We went from, you know, structurally a very sound, strong outfit under Mackay, to then just all-out attack under Solskjaer. So maybe he's learned his lesson. Got, you know, no disrespect for Cardiff at that time, but he's got a higher calibre of player he's dealing with at Man United. So I don't know. It's not a foregone conclusion for me. Definitely not. I'm not worried about the uplift as I would be if Zinedine Zidane had gone in there, or, you know, someone of that sort of magnitude. I'm not thinking, oh no. I was gutted, like I said, that they got rid of the manager, but then I'm not overawed by the fact that it's Solskjaer. I then thought, okay, that still gives us a bit of a chance.
Is it just a case of Mourinho gone and things get better at United for you, Paul? Or
I'm worried about the uplift. Not the new manager bounce, because Solskjaer was an absolute disaster as Cardiff manager, and that's the only evidence I can go on. But I'm worried about the uplift, because suddenly he'll pick their best players and we'll see Pogba and Martial and, you know, the big hitters at Man United.
I don't know if we'll see Pogba, Paul.
Well, they were periphery players under Ferguson, under Mourinho at best. And yeah. I just think that they're, you know, I fear we'll see these big hitters and they'll strut their stuff. That's my concern, Blakey. Mm. Like you, I was quite optimistic about a really good result this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
less so now. But you're right about how it's completely divided the Cardiff and Man United fan base. You know, the Cardiff fans are pouring derision on the biggest club in the world, appointing a Cardiff City flop. I mean, his reign here was littered with chaos, confusion, and, to be perfectly honest, crass decision making. Dom, you know, his he went gung ho. It was all out of attack with Cardiff. Remember the game against Liverpool, 3-6 against Liverpool. It was like, oh, we'll score, you score, we'll see who comes out top. There was no chance Cardiff could win a game like that when Liverpool had Luis Suarez and Daniel Sturridge on fire and Raheem Sterling and Steven Gerrard. You know. The other thing that reminds, you know, he tinkered with his team so much, Blakey. Right? I remember that they finally kept a clean sheet against Aston Villa, 0-0. Mm. I've written it down. The back four that day, Marshall was in goal. The back four was Theophile Catherine, Colker, Turner, Declan John, yeah? 0-0 against Aston Villa, yeah? Midweek game, yeah? Following Saturday, they played Hull. He changed the back four. He played three new players in the back four. He had Fabio Colker, who was the one person to keep his place. Juan Cala and Andrew Taylor. They got smashed 4-0 at home to Hull. Surely if you've kept a clean sheet, you stick with the same defence, which is meant to be the very basis.
Well, that's like obvious. Has he learned his lessons? And I'm gonna not defend this decision for Manchester United, but I'm gonna see the logic behind it, which is they see this as a fresh face, someone almost just to put smiles back on faces at a club which has had little to cheer about this season. And so for that reason, I think it's very dangerous for Cardiff because, like Paul says, the big hitters will play, Pogba will play.
Well, we don't know that. That's my fear.
He will.
We don't know that.
He will. Because one of the reasons...
Well, you're a Solskjaer's interest.
No, one of the reasons Mourinho's got is because he's failed to satisfy people like Pogba, who are, who are probably worth more than Mourinho to the club.
Yeah, but there's a problem with the fans and Pogba. So don't be surprised if the hierarchy... could well be thinking of getting rid of Pogba also. Don't be surprised if the hierarchy have said someone like Sir Alex is detailing to Solskjaer, right, this is what you do, this is the team you pick, da 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 da. So, you know, Pogba's not endeared himself to the fans, and it's like, I don't even think it's 50-50, I would probably say it's 70-30. He's going to have to go some... and go some for quite some time.
Well, what do you think he's a World Cup winner?
He is.
He's one of the best players in the world. What
do you think about the reception here? Because if Mourinho had come here, he would have had it in the big time this weekend. You know, you get sacked in the morning if Cardiff went a goal up, all that sort of stuff, yeah? I think Solskjaer will be afforded a warm welcome by Cardiff fans. But I've got Cardiff fans on to me saying, we are not clapping Solskjaer.
No.
We will never forget that. But I mean, as an ex-Cardiff manager, won't he get a warmish reception?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't If I had done what he had done, I wouldn't expect to come here and get a warm reception.
No, okay.
Especially with Man United. That's the last team I'm going to expect a warm reception.
Well, I think a lot of fans will tap into that psyche because I'm being told that. Not clapping him, you know.
Yeah. Don't you clap him, Cardiff fans. You don't need any support of the opposition.
There's the message.
Get on to him. Pressure every single one of them, every part. We'll make this place the most uncomfortable place to be this weekend.
I think, to be fair to Solskjaer, listen, and I'm as critical of him as anybody almost as critical, but he did bring Sean Morrison and Bruno Manga and these sorts of players to the club who've been key figures in the rise again under Neil Warnock.
That was probably largely more due to Neil Warnock, though. You'd say, wouldn't you? Warnock getting the best out of them, because Manga before Warnock arrived, there was doubt over him.
But you know, they're clearly very capable centre backs, both of them. You know, they were very important in the promotion rise.
But what does it mean for Cardiff this weekend? The Solskjaer appointment, does it lessen their chances as opposed to if Mourinho had been there? Like Blakey says, do they still have a chance because Solskjaer's maybe potentially tactically naive? How do we see it?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. The latter, that he's tactically naive and tactically coming in thinking, like, oh, this is an opportunity where I can show those Cardiff fans that we're just all out attack like we used to at Man United. Well, you haven't got the defence you used to have at Man United. Nowhere near the defence you used to have at Man United. If it's 50% of what it was, I'd still argue that point. If someone said, oh, they're 50%, no, I don't think they're anywhere near. as good as what they have been in the past. And I think that is going to pose them a problem. And it's okay, you know, you might get away with it against us, but going on from there. But then I suppose we're getting into Man United talk instead of Cardiff.
Yeah, well, let's keep it Cardiff.
Mm. Well, what we can say is that what it really demonstrates, underlines Rams home, is the job Neil Warnock has done. Because from the chaos of Solskjaer, we had to go to the turgidness under Slade. Then there was Trollope. And you know, as Blakey's feeling as his club was going down, Warnock has just turned that all around within 2 years, and Cardiff aren't even in the
bottom three of the Premier League.
And I don't think they're that many. They're that far off points-wise Man United either, Dom. You know? The point I'm making is that Cardiff are going, well, Man United aren't guaranteed to finish in the top six, right? But the point I'm making is that Cardiff are going into this fixture pre-Christmas slightly overachieving because they're not in the bottom three, whereas Man United are going into this fixture definitely underachieving, 19 points off Liverpool at the top and so on. So
closer to the bottom than they are at the top.
I'm not saying there's momentum with Cardiff and there's not with Man United, but it's not a bad fixture to have. It's a shame Marino has gone from Cardiff's perspective.
But it's still a great fixture in the sense that you know that the boys are going to be totally up for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Man United don't rotate. They don't play a rotation system. They, you know, and trying to get that into them this week. Again, like I just said, for Cardiff, dealing with rotation, it takes a few weeks to get that sorted and get it a good understanding. You've seen teams come and rotate against us for 20 minutes, but you can tell they've just done it for a couple of days in training before. And it don't last longer than 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, till it crashes. So dealing with it or playing it, that's why I say it takes weeks, if not months, of practice, so that it's second nature.
But if you say, as you say, Nathan, you expect United to come and attack, how did Cardiff cope against that? Because I think most teams that have come to the Cardiff City Stadium this season have recognised it's a bit of a fortress for Cardiff and haven't purely gone for it. They've tried to show a bit, and now, especially the top teams, Arsenal, for example, picked their moments and went for it. City probably is a different case to everyone else, but how will Cardiff cope with that?
Or cope with the fact that Man United...
If United...
I don't think United can afford to go gun home.
No.
I'm kind of relying or hoping that they do. Because I think that'll play into our hands more than... or as much as it would be favourable to them. I think
The evidence of Solskjaer's football is they will go gung ho. Evidence of what we've seen.
I agree with you, Paul. But like I said, I think that appointment of Solskjaer, when you think about it, you think, huh? What? What's that all about? Moulded Man United? Really? Isn't the usual, you know, rhetoric comes out, oh, we've not got the experience, or no, you know, that's a championship club, can manage Man United. Moulder? Does the fact you play for Man United qualify you more than someone who would be managing Middlesbrough right now?
Well, in this case...
Do you understand what I mean? Yeah. It's because you played for them. It doesn't give you more qualification to choose and set up a team. You'd be better going for Karanka at Forest.
Neil Warnock's probably more qualified.
Of course
than
he
Solskjaer.
Is. Absolutely. Yeah.
Here's an opinion from a Cardiff City fan, Paul. If you're wondering what they're thinking about this weekend's game, Carl Mayen on Facebook says, this has got to be a nailed-on 3 points for Cardiff. That's what he says. Johnny Davis says, perhaps slightly tongue-in-cheek, how many formations will Man United try in one match under Solskjaer? And how many useless Moulder players will he sign in January? Maybe more seriously, a question for you, Nathan. Kevin Gould says, I've been concerned...
Hi, Kev Rev.
His words... I've been concerned all season that Sean Morrison is perhaps not up to this level. Mistakes have cost us. Do you agree?
I'm not going to slate any of the boys because I think they've done tremendously well to be where they are at this point. And the game isn't about, you know, digging on an individual. I've made my points before and saying Neil Warnock has said, you know, exclusively he needs a right back. If a right back comes in, then you have a choice of three centre backs between Bamba, Manga, and Morrison. And, you know, I've repeatedly said my
first choice would be Manga and Bamba. So, you know.
Why don't Cardiff fans seem to believe in Morrison as much as Bamba and Manga? Because he's had some real good moments.
I think he has. But I think you've got to look upon, you know, success is short term. Do you know what I mean? You know, the last season is behind us now. I think if you look this season, I think one of the faults Sean has is he, and it worked last year because he would always be the deeper and Bamba would be the one going to attack. Well, in playing deeper in this level, it allows the opposition to exploit your offside. You can't play offside, really, truly, because...
We said that's what we were talking about at Watford, really, weren't we?
Yeah, and I think why Sean... I know why Sean sits a bit deeper than the others in the back line is because he's fearing being done for pace. So, you know, it's difficult to see him stepping up and maybe stepping in forward and being the man who carries the ball into midfield often, because he's always the one who's just sat that little bit deeper. And like I said, it's because it's the fear of someone running him. And I understand that. But if you step back, your whole back three of the other back three have got to step back with you. You know?
Certainly against the pace of Rashford and Martial.
Well, otherwise you're cannon fodder for being done when you're thinking you're trying to play offside. You know, left back thinking he's in the right position. When you look across the line, your centre back's next to you, your second centre back's 5 yards behind, and your right back's up in line. So, you know, that's something that they're going to have to work out again. It's on the training grounds, watching videos of yourselves and your performances, and then ironing out those mistakes. I just think everything has got to be dedicated to trying to improve from last week to this week. And I mean, whether they've won, lost or drawn, you know, watch the video, blah, blah, blah. What can we improve on? Right. Who have we got coming up next week? Right. What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? This is how we're going to try and expose them. This is what they'll do to try and expose us. So we make sure we work on that and try and counter it.
Well, on a similar theme, maybe not for this weekend, but for the away games coming up over Christmas, Crystal Palace and Leicester, for Cardiff in between Christmas and New Year. Johnny Davis says... not Johnny Davis. We've had him. James Roberts. He says, possible change in formation away from home. Five at the back, possibly. So there's two games in between Christmas and New Year. Would you be looking at something like that to maybe solidify away from home? Get at least another point on the board?
I wouldn't go five at the back, no. I'd go four at the back. And I would go away from home. I would sit not all three in a line, but I would sit three midfielders. And I would say Victor would have to be more disciplined to play away from home than he was against Watford. I think...
We'll go back to that issue of him playing out wide. Maybe that's why, because Walnut didn't think he could be a...
Yeah, and why Riles has played in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, because it gives you that more, that dog, that, and maybe from home, away from home. Maybe you say that, and maybe you say to someone like Arda and Riles, if anyone breaks, it's one of you two. But really and truly, I'd like two sitting and just one of you breaking it. But someone has got to break at some point, you know. But you've got to have a pattern then. You play two where you can get the ball wide. And then the wide boys have got to do, they've got to do more.
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, at Watford on Saturday, Josh, he always looks dangerous, but he's not threatening enough for me. And I think why, if I was to jump inside Neil Warnock's head, I would say probably why he changed him, and you're saying he shouldn't have, or he didn't think
no,
he
I can
have.
Actually understand why he
I
did.
I think it's the aggression in Josh, or the lack of aggression. And away from home, sometimes, you know, it's a war of attrition. It's not about, you know,
taking someone on.
That's why I love Mendes, because he's always up for a fight with you, you know.
Paul, what's your stance on Murphy? Surprised to see him taken off at half time against Watford. Where does he doesn't play a lot away from home, actually.
Happens with wide players, whether it's Murphy, Højlertz, Harris, Mendes, Lang, they're the players who don't last the 90 minutes, aren't they? I like the idea of five at the back, but the trouble is, if you have five at the back, plus the goalkeeper, plus the three midfielders, that only gives you two players who are going to get the remotest sniff at goal, and I think that's inviting even more pressure on you.
Mm. Unless your wing backs get forward like Blakey's been.
I do question whether Mendes Lang has the technical skills to be a hit at this level, but away from home, I do agree with Blakey. I think he's a massive outlet for Cardiff. And I think that as the season goes on, he might end up being the kingpin in terms of the wide player who's picked first and foremost. I mean, irrespective of whether he's up for a fight or not, Blakey,
he's so disciplined in the wing position. Remember last season I was saying after he'd gone off the boil, without scoring, he's still playing well because positionally, he's so great for a defender, a right back or left back, whoever he's in front of. He's so disciplined in his work, and his work rate is tremendous. That's why he blows a gasket on 70, 80 minutes, because he works so damn hard. You know?
That's why Warner brought him on for Murphy.
And I think he, you know, that is just blatantly obvious to me. And
well, I think he might be more suited away from home than at home for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I like him at home as well. I think he's just, what I like about Mendes is similar to what I like about Kadim. Those two, I have to say, I think Josh has done okay. I think he had a better earlier part of the season. But those two, what I like about Kadim and Mendes is they always attack the outside of the defender. And they don't care if you're quicker than them.
They haven't got the technical skills of the others, though.
I think they give you enough, though. I really do. I think when Kadim has come on and when he played, I think he's done really well. I think Mendes has. And, you know, I think all of us would say junior talent, you know, we've seen again
Murphy,
Saturday.
They drop their shoulders,
we've seen the talent junior again Saturday.
Yeah.
But other than that goal,
he didn't do anything.
There was nothing.
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
Do you know what I mean? And if you're gonna be defending so often, right, when your wingers get the ball, listen, if they're tired, really knackered, then you can understand them just passing it and trying to get their second win. But if they're not, they've got to stretch the game. That's the pattern of Cardiff's counter-attack. Why? Because Patterson has not got the pace to stretch the game. He'll run in behind, but he's not going to do you for pace. Like I've said before, when Cardiff played without pace, remember before Warnock come, and they played a lot without pace, and Kadim was the only pacey player they had, and they were playing him right back. And I'm saying it doesn't make no sense what Paul Trollope was doing. Because if you put him right wing, if you kick 20 balls over the top and say to the right side, left side centre-half and the left back and Kadim, right, race, chase it, depending on their positions, Kadim's going to win at least 50% of them, right? Because he's quicker than the other two, right? But whereas if you've not got pace, then you're only going to... So if you're like Patterson, you're going to win 20%. You're going to win one or two. Like he did against Southampton, he gets that winning goal just simply by chasing. But he's not going to outdo, he's not going to outrun people. Whereas I think those who are, they do outrun people. And they're no nonsense. They just get it down, get at you, get on the outside of you. And then that allows the space to open up inside. That's why I like those two for me.
Here's one for Blakey now then.
Go on.
Right. Just thinking about when he's raised Trollope. Rank these Cardiff managers, Blakey, 3-1, i.e. one's the best, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Trollope, mm-hmm. Solskjaer, Slade. This could cause a good debate amongst
Cardiff fans.
I can't
go 3-1, I can just go third places.
That's a good answer.
Third, and third. Good answer. Which means there's no 2 and no 1.
Cardiff fans, any thoughts? Get in touch at Cardiff City Live. Let's go straight into Nathan's Premier League predictions for the next weekend before we take a look, not just at the Man United game, but I've worked out 4 Cardiff City games between two podcasts here, because we won't be with you on Boxing Day, so there's going to be 4 Cardiff City games between this podcast and the next one, which we'll record in early January. So,
and they are what? Man United, Leicester,
United,
Palace.
Leicester, Palace and Spurs.
And I'd say we have to get at least... 3 points.
3 points?
By the end of this little run of games, the end of Spurs.
How many points for you, Paul?
Got to get at least 3 or 4.
Well, let's go through them afterwards, shall we?
Okay, let's go to this weekend then. The 22nd and 23rd. Nathan, you managed to get 6 points last week, which included a correct score exactly on Huddersfield 0, Newcastle 1.
That's because I'm the man, Dom.
Good call there. But that's the only time you've ever predicted, I think, a 1-0. They're always 3-2 or 4-2. This weekend, take us away.
Okay, so first game is Wolves-Liverpool. I'm going to go with a 3-1 win for Liverpool at Wolves. Arsenal-Burnley, I'm going to go with a 2-1.
2-1 win for Arsenal.
Late win for Arsenal. Bournemouth-Brighton, okay. It's a derby, not near each other, I know, but Seaside derby, let's go for... I think Brighton are really difficult to beat and difficult away from home, so I'm going to go with a 1-1 there.
1-1 Bournemouth-Brighton.
And then Chelsea-Leicester. I would go Chelsea current form.
Back on form, really, aren't they, Chelsea?
Go with a 2-0 win for Chelsea at home.
How does it feel, Southampton?
Ooh, man. I'm going to go with a 0-0 draw for that game.
It's got to be the first 0-0 prediction ever.
Man City Palace. I'm going to go with a 4-0 prediction for that one. Newcastle Fulham. Newcastle at home. Playing well. Rondon. I think we should have gone for him. He would have been.
It would have been good for Cardiff, wouldn't he, Rondon?
Two and Fulham, I'm going to go 1 because I think they're in real trouble. I think Ranieri's got probably another 4 or 5 games before the heat starts to come on him too. West Ham Watford, nature of the game, I'm afraid, Dom. West Ham Watford, this will be a really good game, right? Because I think these two teams are on it at the moment. So I'm going to go with a high scoring.
Nathan Blake classic 3-3.
Yeah. And then Everton Spurs. I'm going to say Spurs are going to nick that one. Just by the goal to nil. And then do I need to do Cardiff
Man United? Need to do Cardiff Man United because this is now the game of the weekend with a new manager in and lots of interest in the game. What are you saying?
Okay. Are you ready for this? And this is a bit of my heart and head talking, but I do believe in it a little. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I believe in it about a 4 or a 5. So almost half.
Mostly heart then, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go 2 goals to Cardiff and a surprising 1 to Man United. Because I think...
Start the Solskjaer era at United, how it ended at Cardiff.
No, I you know, sometimes like... an old player comes back who was terrible for you, comes back and scores a hat-trick sort of thing. I think there's lots of stuff going to be at play on Saturday with that game. And I just think with all the euphoria around it, expectation is going to be huge. And I think they're vulnerable at the back. It's quite simple. I don't think they pass the ball as well. I think their danger is their front three.
The question is, are all those problems under Mourinho going to evaporate under Solskjaer?
No.
I think you're right. I think no. I don't agree with your score, but I think
Rashford,
right.
Lukaku, Martial, if he plays, I think they'll go all out attack like that. I think they'll go all out pace attack, right, front three. Right. But I don't think Matic is playing particularly well. I don't think Herrera is playing particularly well, if either of those two play. And then Lindelof and people like that, I just don't look at them and think, oh man, they can't be got at. I definitely think we can.
I'm more optimistic listening to that than I was.
I just didn't chuck it in there as a, oh, I think we'll win 2-1. You know,
no, it's
there's some logic behind it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what the players might be thinking going in.
I just fear that Pogba, Martial and co will be liberated.
Do you know what I think?
Not by Ollie,
with Pogba,
but by
the way it's going, right, and what's been said, right, you've got to remember that class of like 92 or 99,
92, yeah.
They got hold of that club at the moment because Fergie is the main man, right? So they can all say what they like about anybody, and they're well within their right to. But I'm looking at there and thinking to myself, the chances of Fergie and I having no influence on Ollie is nigh on impossible, right? And if Ollie is thinking, yeah, we'll just go back to how we used to play at Man United when I was here, and so Alex is giving me kind of like the wink to say, yeah, go on, just get a card in front of a bat. I think you're overestimating your defence. I think you're thinking we're far better than what we are. That's what I'm hoping plays out.
Paul, is that a score prediction from you then? If you're not quite as optimistic, but similarly optimistic with Blakey?
Go on, Paul.
1-2.
I love how considered Paul's predictions are. He never jumps in, does he? He's always measured.
1-2. You go the other way.
1-2, United 2-1 win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Cardiff will score because they always tend to score at home. I think United will go for it. So I think 3-2 United. I'll say.
Okay.
Entertaining one from
goals.
A wintry Saturday at Cardiff City Stadium.
Come on, Bluebirds.
Let's see what happens then. That's all from us for 2018. And before we go, I've got a little
Christmas present for me.
No, just a little. Let's have a moment of 2018 from Paul and from Nathan from a Cardiff City perspective.
Wow.
Let's promotion, obviously. Let's park that. A more specific moment of the of 2018 of the calendar year for Cardiff City. Who wants to chime in first?
Brighton home.
Brighton at home.
Mm. Dig, dog, fight, spirit, character. Yeah, I thought that was a really and an important win at the important time.
Fantastic. Yeah, so it certainly was. Paul, are you going Premier League or are you looking back further in the year?
Well, it's easy to go Premier League, so Wolves at home, possibly.
That was a good one, yeah.
In the Premier League?
But I'm being dragged back to April. You know, went to Aston Villa, saw Cardiff lose to a Grealish, won the goal. Went to Derby, that horrible rainy evening, and saw I think it was the following week, and saw
Vidra.
Cameron Jerome destroy Sean Morrison, score a hat trick that night. Or
two, I think he scored two.
Cardiff and Fulham suddenly
two, wasn't
and Fulham have charged right up on Cardiff, who were at Hull, I think, the following Saturday, 3 or 4 days later, and Sean Morrison had a blinder and won the game for Cardiff as a centre back. And I don't think I've cheered goals more, like, because that was the defining moment. That was the game that enabled Cardiff to do a draw would be enough in the final game against Reading. That was the defining moment that held
in their hands.
Imagine if Zaha was playing this season. Nine fantastic moments.
I was so pleased with Sean Morrison because, like Blakey, I felt that Manga and Bamba are a better option at the back. But that was a real captain's performance there. And that was the moment that drove Cardiff over the promotion line for me. So I'm gonna pick the win at Hull City on a
Bamba's set. Volley at Brentford.
That's exactly what I was gonna choose.
Bamba's volley at Brentford.
Sensational moment.
What a volley!
And Cardiff have been absolutely battered for the first 20-30 minutes of that game. I think Warnock himself said Brentford played like Real Madrid.
Wasn't that in 2017?
No, it was in March. I think that was. Yeah, it was when the snow had been around and we'd had a postponement.
Yeah. Okay. Centre backs shouldn't be scoring goals.
But do you know what? I've got a bigger highlight than all of those.
Kenneth Zaha doing a 5-yard pass.
Right, can I be serious now? Well, why have you got to be flippant, right? can I? I've got a bigger highlight than all of that, and that's the Boot Room Show, which I think has gone from strength to strength.
Paul.
Thank all our listeners, and this is Dom's job, really. Thank all our listeners, which is a growing audience. Blakey speaks eminent sense every week.
Can I say a fantastically loyal audience too? The people that tune in, they ask us questions every week, and they're getting bigger and bigger in terms of the numbers we're getting on those. So
I think we should thank them, Don.
Yeah, absolutely. But, thank you all for your support in 2018.
They know we love them.
Yeah, we hope for plenty more in 2019, which could be a very crucial year for Cardiff City when you think about it.
Merry Christmas to one and all.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bluebirds fans. Let's hope it's a real Happy New Year.